Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Israelite Podcast, Let There Be Light Podcast, and I'm one of your co-hosts.
Netanel Ted Deutsch.
Yes, that's who I am. Yes, thank you. Thanks for pointing that one out.
And I am Julie Burnson-Brook, and we have a great show for you today. So we're going to begin that today is Wednesday, July 7th, 2021. It is the 27th of Tammuz, 5781. And on our front cover, we have volunteers help to preserve Cincinnati's 200-year-old Jewish cemetery. And there's going to be a big party that's going to go on here when we celebrate the 200th anniversary of the first Jews being buried in Cincinnati.
We haven't really discussed that yet. We're going to bring that up when David Harris is coming in. And we're going to have a big announcement about what's happening and all that. But they went down to the original one, which is the Chestnut Street Cemetery. I think we've all been there on tours and stuff, and we've gone there.
So it's got less than 100 graves, but they had a bunch of volunteers. Larry Newman is the president, and the vice president is Ray Warren. And they had 9 young adults from the Ohio History Service Corps that came to help them. And they actually cleaned out all of the tombstones, headstones. Right. They used brushes. They used gentle soap. And also they used chopsticks to get into the Hebrew letters and the lettering to make sure that even the gook in there was cleaned out.
Now, are those granite? It looks like it's a gray, like a marble, but is that granite or marble?
I don't know. We can ask, that's a question that we can leave up for David Harris when he comes to speak to us.
How do you clean that? You know, I guess just cleaning fluid, you know, cleaning and scrubbing and scraping and stuff to get it cleaned up. It's really fascinating, but it's the history of Cincinnati and the history of people that lived here in Cincinnati that came before us.
Very nice, and that was a mitzvah to clean that up. And, you know, the Rosh Hashanah issue is early this year, and you're working on it even earlier, which is good because, you know, in the past sometimes it gets there just around Rosh Hashanah, and now you're going to actually be early, so if people want to advertise, they need to know.
Right, well, it's Labor Day. I mean, we're just coming off 4th of July. And then we've got the end of this month. We've got Mature Living,
and they're having the fireworks on Labor Day again.
I'll be out on a boat with the Coast Guard Auxiliary.
And you know, I know you have service to your country, so I received from some organization sent me this T-shirt about Land of the Free and Home of the Brave, and I flipped over the tag, and it's been made in China. I thought that was really, you know, a well-done project.
Is that an extra large? Because I can only, that's probably too small for me.
Well, maybe, you know, I don't know. You can do something with it.
What do you want me to stretch it out?
Yeah.
Look at this.
But it's for you, for all your dedication and your work, too.
It's a size large. I can't wear this.
Well, enjoy it.
I look like one of those muscle guys in The Sopranos walking around my muscles and stuff.
Anyway, talking about people that give support to Cincinnati, we also have Danielle Minson has been promoted to the president and intern CEO of the CEO of Jewish Federation of Cincinnati. And we're going to have her on as a guest.
Couple weeks.
Yeah, so we've got a lot of good people. We got David Harris coming and Danielle Minson.
Well, you're gone next week, so I'm filling in with the Pam and Pam show.
Anyway, Jewish Federation also hired Emma Chaney, and she's going to be a new development officer for planned giving and endowment.
Right.
And then David Gershuni, he won an award from the Jewish Federation's 2021 Messel Weider Mensch Award.
Right.
So mazel tov to David Gershuni. He's a fourth generation Cincinnati, I believe.
I think I'm like fourth and fifth too.
Again, Shmuel Reichman's got a really lovely column about the importance of every step, and then we're going to get into
Tishba'av,
and these days of learning, and the Book of Laminations, and mourning. Do you want to talk about what you're hearing in your daily services that you're attending?
So right now we're in the 3 weeks. The 3 weeks started, I guess, about a week or two ago on a Sunday. And those are the 3 weeks leading up to Tisha B'Av. So the 3 weeks are when there was a siege on Jerusalem, and it took them 3 weeks till they breached the walls, and then, you know, I guess it was the Romans, and then they killed everybody and destroyed the city. And, you know, so a lot of bad things happened on Tisha B'Av, which was the destruction of the first temple, the destruction of the second temple, the Holocaust. It's on and on and on. So then there's the 9 days, which is during the 3 weeks, and then the last 9 days are very special days. And so it talks about what the last 9 days are. It's the most mournful period leading up to the destruction of the temple. And so people are really in mourning during mm-hmm. this time, and they take it to heart and they really feel it. So that starts this Saturday on Shabbos, starts the 9 days. And a lot of people don't eat meat. They don't shave. They won't, you know, do certain
Well, it says no excessive bathing. Now, this was also right, what didn't Rabbi Kaplan talk to us a little bit about wine and liquor, but we could have wine on Shabbat. And that reminds me, I wanted to share a story with you. So, you know, I've been doing this thing called aggressive friending. It's they said it's it comes out of COVID because, like, you've had a whole year where you haven't had people over to socialize.
Right, right.
So aggressive friending is like all of a sudden you're calling people and you're inviting everyone over. You want to see people. You want to be with them. You know, there were people that moved here that I wanted to have that I couldn't have because normally when someone new is here, I like to have them as guests. So I've been aggressively friending every Shabbat. I've had a house full. Been cooking and baking. And so in the meantime, I had some guests this past weekend. One was Ilan Goldman, and he listens to our podcast.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he brought me a gift. You know what he brought me? A giant bottle of Manischewitz wine.
I have one of those. That's what the staff got me for my birthday.
Oh, that was nice.
And we're still drinking it. Now, Stephanie is not the biggest fan of Manischewitz.
Well, you know, it's my favorite.
Yeah, I know. You like it. It's, like, very syrupy.
Yeah, and you know,
very syrupy.
For 2 weeks in a row, I made those Catskill Sunrises from Gail Levine Schindler, and everyone loved them. I was pouring them. And
so maybe we need to use that for some Catskill Sunrises.
Yeah, those are good.
So on Friday night, we use it for, you know, for...
The Kiddush.
Right, for Kiddush. And she just, you know, the face.
Oh, well.
I get the face.
I finish off what everyone else doesn't
today,
drink.
So, you know, Stephanie, my lovely wife, Stephanie, and she's really the epitome of, you know, flavor and couture and culture. And
she
and,
is beautiful. And so I'm sure. But, you know, I love
She's going to look forward to that
Catskills
tonight.
Yeah. It's really, they're very good. They're very, very good. The other thing is that I had Rabbi Shadel, and he brought me a Muscata, which I also love. And it's that one.
It's like a white wine.
No, that's the one that's it's like bubbly and sweet, too.
Okay.
Yeah. It's it's also a kosher, and that was delicious. And then we had another family, and they brought wine. It was really
lovely.
It
was like a big drinking party Friday night,
wasn't it? What was it called? Shikr. We were all
shikr. You were a little shikr by the end of the night.
And talking more about Manischewitz, you know, I learned an interesting fact that I don't know a lot of people knew. Two of the grandchildren of Rabbi Dov
Wise
Manischewitz,
Manischewitz
married each other. So two first cousins married each other.
Ooh.
Yeah. So Bernard, the second son of Jacob and Pearl Quitman Manischewitz, and that and Jacob was the one who primarily took over Manischewitz. Their son married Esther Judith, and she was the second daughter of Hirsch and his second wife, Sarah Rose.
Okay.
And they were first cousins, and they married each other.
Okay.
We've also been looking for a couple of the ads that were listed in the book.
Right.
And we didn't find it. There was one listed in the book that said, like, in 1918, there was a full-page ad. We cannot find it. So I'm going to actually try and get hold of the author of the book and see if she will send us a copy. I did find one that's from South Africa that could be it, but... The one for the Israelite would not have mentioned an address in South Africa.
So to finish up the 9 days, there it starts the end of the 9 days on Tisha B'Av starts on next Saturday the 17th, and Tisha B'Av is Sunday the 18th.
It's very early.
It's very early this year. Yeah, so people will be fasting and then saying prayers so that other bad things don't happen to the Jewish people on that date in the future.
Well, you know, speaking of sad times and mourning, this has been a difficult time. Once again this year, the Jewish victims of Surfside, a lot of them are listed here, although there is one from Cincinnati that didn't make the cut. There was a Dr. Goldman. He was a University of Cincinnati College of Medicine graduate, and his name, Dr. Cohn. His name was Dr. Brad Cohn. He was the University of Cincinnati College of Medicine class of 1997. And his brother, Dr. Gary Cohn, are still missing in the condo collapse. So that's a Cincinnati connection and another Jewish person. Although anyone who has passed away in that is tragic, regardless of what their religion is.
So looking at the page on 8, there's roughly about 18 people so far that are Jewish. This is a very, very Jewish community, a very Jewish
It was Jews from Miami. It was also Jews from South America, Central America. It's
so
a
we
very
need to pray for them and
may their memories be for a blessing.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking too.
So in international news, I guess unfortunately Montreal's kosher bakery has been a target of arson, and it's a shame that for some reason people feel that they have to keep attacking us. It doesn't make any sense.
No. And also Iran is demanding that the lifting of sanctions, if they're going to enter into the talks with the Biden administration. I don't see that happening. Unless they're going to actually do some concrete things to say, we're going to stop doing this, and we're going to, then we'll start lifting sanctions. But until that's done, it's we're going to stay where we're at right now.
So in Israel, there's these negotiations are underway to avoid an evacuation of an, I'll pronounce it wrong, it's Eviatar enclave. So as I understand it, it's an area, it's a disputed area,
right.
And there, it's a settlement, and I guess it's a hot topic right now going on in Israel. So I would like to do some more reading about that, because okay. That's the first I've heard about it.
All right, we'll find out about that.
You know,
that.
And this is our dental and oral issue, and we have upcoming a interview with Dr. Fred Peck.
Right.
So we'll take a break, and when we get back, we'll have Fred Peck on. So, Dr. Peck, first of all, just give us a little quick bio, where you grew up, your schooling, some of your activities.
So I grew up in Roselawn, went to Walnut Hills. After Walnut Hills, went to Washington University in St. Louis for undergrad, and then I went to The Ohio State University for dental school. After dental school, I did a residency at University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. And before I started practice, I took the summer off, and I volunteered as a dentist in Sderot, Israel.
Wow.
For 4 weeks, and that was a great experience. So helping the all the children there, especially, and the adults. And it was not as bad in Sderot as it is now, being
right.
So close to Gaza. But they treated me very well. And then I spent another week or two in Israel and came home and went into practice with my father. The practice was started by my grandfather in 1931.
Wow.
And so I still have a lot of the patients there, obviously in their 80s and 90s now. Some were a little younger, but that went to my grandfather and my father.
So your family's been in Cincinnati for a long time. Do you
yes.
know who was the first one to arrive in Cincinnati?
It was my grandfather.
Okay, where'd he come from?
So he grew up around Ohio. They were up in Dayton mm-hmm. at the time, and then came to Cincinnati and opened up his practice.
And in terms of coming to the United States, when did your first relative come to the United States?
So his father came from Lithuania, back in the late 1890s.
Okay.
And his mother came from Poland, and they met in New York.
In New York.
And then moved somewhere in Ohio and started the family.
Wow. And so how long have you been in dentistry?
I've been in dentistry 36 years.
Very, very impressive. Now, you have the designation DDS, and
right.
there's also DMD. Can you tell me what the difference is?
So there is no difference. One's a doctor of medical dentistry, and one's a doctor of dental surgery. And it really depends on which school you went to. A lot of the East Coast schools are DMDs. The Midwest schools and even the West Coast are DDS. And a lot of the schools will give you, depending on your designation of what area you're going to practice in, they'll give you either degree.
Okay.
It's the same degree. It's all just political. People recognize one certain areas of the country.
And I also noticed you have another designation. You're a fellow of the American Academy of Cosmetic Dentistry. I'm assuming you had to do some research in order to become accepted as a fellow.
Yeah, so what the American Academy of Cosmetic Dentistry is an organization that promotes responsible aesthetics and cosmetic dentistry. There's about 5,000 members worldwide. And the first step of with the AACD, as we call it, is to become accredited. And that is a process of submitting different types of cosmetic dentistry to a review board where they are evaluating your skills in cosmetic dentistry.
Okay, go ahead.
And then, so after I became accredited, and there's about 450 accredited members, after I became accredited, I became a fellow, and there's about 89 of us worldwide that have that.
Oh wow, only 89?
89, and you have to submit 50 cases to be evaluated for that.
Did you have any cases that were, like, super, super interesting that you can...
You know, a lot of the cases, you know, they have certain criteria. So the cases that are more complex really don't fit the criteria of what you would use for that process.
Okay.
Hmm. Okay. So talk about, you know, your dental practice currently, today, what you're doing today.
So currently, I have a general practice, but I have a heavy focus on cosmetic dentistry and reconstructive. I get a lot of referrals from other dentists and specialists. But I treat from children all the way up to, you know, older senior citizens.
And so, I think you do like a lot of athletes, too.
Yeah, I've had.
Which is very interesting stuff.
Yeah, I've had athletes. I've had, people in, you know, television, radio, things like that. And, you know, so it's a wide variety of
radio patients. Radio doesn't need nice teeth.
Well, they got to be able to talk well.
Yeah.
You know? So
I feel like I need to floss.
Me too. Yeah. After eating lunch.
Yeah. In the meantime, so, you know, we had COVID this year. How did COVID affect your practice?
So, first of all, the governor shut us down middle of March. Mm. So we did not come back until May 1st. So that was hard just from a staffing standpoint. I couldn't keep all the staff on at the time, not knowing how long we were going to be shut down. So, and I just treated a few emergencies here and there just to keep patients
right.
comfortable. The day that they announced we could come back, we opened up May 1st, and we've been, you know, quite busy ever since.
Well, the protocol of, you know, you had to wear a mask and a face shield and gloves, and then probably the patients had to wear stuff too, so you weren't transferring or giving each other COVID, right. And when they came in the office, you had all these different protocols to do when you came into the office, or you couldn't even come in, just you'd wait outside one person at a time, so you had all, that right. was, it's just, and it's still, I think, and it's not as bad as it was
it's,
now.
It's a little better.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We really weren't using our reception room at all, trying to minimize yeah. different patient contact. From an infection control standpoint, the only differences were we had face shields all the time that we weren't using on a regular basis, and we were doing, you know, all the other infection controls already. We did put in air purifiers that pull out coronavirus from the air.
Wow.
Because of dentistry produces a lot of aerosols.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's a lot of fluid.
Right.
Did yeah. you always want to be a dentist?
Probably from maybe 7th or 8th grade.
Your dad influenced and your
yeah,
grandfather.
Yeah, you know, I worked in the office when I was a kid. So I kind of knew my way around the dental office pretty
okay,
good.
Okay, so when you were a kid and your, what's changed between then and now? I mean, you know, how what's what like advances and evolutionary?
So, you know, as a kid I was developing x-rays in a dark room. I mean, all the x-rays now are digital.
Yeah.
So where I had a job as doing that, my son has the job of keeping the servers running and keeping the computers going if I can't fix it myself.
Oh, that's a good job.
Yeah, he's my techie.
Yeah.
So, and then the other thing is, I remember that's the smell of impression materials all over the office. We still have some, but a lot of it is all digital. So we can do a scan of somebody's mouth. We don't have the gooey stuff.
Oh, that's nice to know.
And we can do a scan, capture that, send it digitally to the lab, and get the crowns.
Yeah, those things are like chokers.
They are.
Ooh, it's a weird. It's like eating silly putty for a few minutes.
Well, so you had to keep the thing like in your thing, and you had to breathe. You had to breathe with that thing in your mouth for like a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like, it was a little uncomfortable.
It's much easier with a video
now,
scanner.
Video, it's all digital. It's all electronic.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So tell us something about you that's not about dentistry. Tell us something unusual that you do, you know, that some people may not know you. Do you brew your own beer? Do you grow carrots?
So in dentistry,
he grows carrots. He's a carrot grower.
So in dentistry, we take a lot of pictures. And so I got tired of taking just pictures of teeth all the time. So my hobby is landscape photography.
Okay.
So I'll try to go on photography trips and having all those photos hanging in my office.
Oh, that's a great way to beautify the office.
So it's nice because when I'm out there taking a picture, I'm not thinking about anything except capturing the scene.
Yeah. And is there anything that you want to share with us that, about people and their dental health going forward now that we've reopened the world?
You know, the most important thing is to have excellent oral hygiene. Patients come in and say, well, you know, I just have a little bleeding when I brush or floss. And I ask them, well, if your toes or fingers bled, would you worry?
Good point.
The answer is yes, you should. Because we see that the bacteria and items in the saliva of infected patients that have infectious gum disease show up in heart disease, show up in other areas of the body. So a healthy mouth is not only a healthy oral health, but cardiac health reduces, you know, chance, higher chance of strokes with gum disease, pre-low term birth rates, a lot of issues that can be avoided with keeping the mouth healthy.
Yeah, because I remember reading that article several years ago about your heart and your mouth, and that, you know, and so my father and my brother, my dad died at 48 and my brother at 52, and so I religiously do all the stuff, the doctor and the dentist, whatever they tell me, I do it, because I'm 63 and I want to be around. And
well, Corky needs you.
Corky needs me too, yes.
Corky, his daughter.
Stephanie
needs you too.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, even when we were in dental school, we knew that it was there, but there were no research and connections. Now the connections are all being made between oral health and overall
health. Very interesting.
That's nice to know. Well, it's important that we brought a dentist in to give us some expert opinions for the dental issue. And
keep brushing your teeth twice a day.
Floss.
And after your lunch.
And like I tell my patients, you only have to floss the teeth you want to keep.
Now are you a Bengals fan, a Reds fan? You're a Cincinnatian.
I'm a Reds fan. It's been hard to be a Bengals fan for the last few years.
Yes, it has.
Am a Reds fan, always have been.
Yeah.
So like to show off my 76 signed Reds baseball.
And although we didn't talk about it on this interview, I am pleased to find out that your wife is, a Lonsman of mine from Highland Park, Illinois. So I'm very pleased to learn that. You have to send her my regards.
Absolutely.
And you think that she graduated
with
your sister in the same year.
Most likely, It appears to be the same year. So we will find out if there's a connection.
That's right. We will.
In any event, this has been wonderful, and we really appreciate your time. It's not often that someone who's as busy as you is able to give us a few minutes of your time, and we really, really appreciate it. And we look forward to sharing it with our listeners.
Right. Very good.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, that was a great interview with Dr. Fred Peck. We really appreciate his time and his information and what we can all do post-COVID to take care of our dental health.
You know, one of the most important things that he brought up was that your oral health and your teeth have a direct effect on, like, heart attacks and your heart and all that stuff. And, you know, we're finding that out, that if you're, you know, keep your teeth up and you keep your teeth and your gums and everything, the likelihood of, you know, heart attack and strokes and all that is lessened. And that's, who knew that stuff when we were, you know, this is like all new information, I think, to a lot of us.
Right.
I think
that's really important to know.
Yes. So if you're in need of a dentist, or you need to get your teeth cleaned, or you want to get a new tooth, you know, an implant or something, go see some of the people that are in here. They'll take care of you.
A lot of great dentists. And then we have our dining out guide is Mark's Hot Bagels that offers catering options. So he will come to your home with his truck. I think that would be a good time.
We've been talking about bringing that truck here and making pizzas for a while. But one of these days we're going to have that truck here making pizzas.
Yeah. And in fact.
And you know what's on the
side? I understand he was there at Shep's goodbye party.
I heard he was
at the Shep's goodbye party.
So, you know, if you look at the side of that truck, if you look at that photo, guess who that is?
Oh, that's
John Marks. That one, he looks like Superman.
And he's wearing a tight, muscular shirt there. He looks like he's pretty buff.
He looks like Superman.
I don't know. That spread looks very good, too. So I also, this weekend, had the opportunity to try the new bar at Chez Rene.
Right,
Chez Rene. And
live in France, you know.
You know French?
Yeah, I lived in France. I took French for an entire year, then lived in France.
Because, you know, I talked to our mutual friend, Pam Sakes, and I asked her if she knows French, because by the time this post, she's going to understand why I asked her if she knew French. So Bella wrote her a birthday card, and it's all in French.
I can read it.
Okay, so you can read it to her. So I'm going to have her call you and take a picture of the card.
You'll have to bring it in. I can't read it like from when you speak it. I have to look at the wording.
Well, I'll ha- I you definitely will read it for her.
Another one of your disgusting.
I'll have her bring it in Wednesday and you can read
sexual orientation, sexual stuff and all that. Oh, goodness. I
love Bella Brooke.
Bella Brooke. That Bella Brooke, she needs to have her. You know what my mom would do? She'd go, if you talk like that, I'm going to take you into the bathroom and wash your mouth out with soap.
Well, and I know that we're going to. I know we're going to have a future advertiser in Cafe Alma from Lainey.
Is that the name of it?
Yeah, I believe it's Cafe Alma, and it's from Lainey and your Rickler.
Yeah, I didn't want to announce that, but now that you've announced it, so I understand that they've now fixed the parking lot. I have not driven by there in a while.
Yeah, it's in the old Molly Malone's on Montgomery Road.
Are they painting the building?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure they're going to strip.
It was like red and black.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to strip it all down and make it nice in there. And they actually have a liquor license. And what they're going to do is they're going to do some creative drinks. They have some ideas from some of the creative drinks that they had when they lived in Israel. Okay. And they're going to put some twist to them. I told them about the Catskill Sunrise, too, with the Manischewitz, and they just giggled.
Catskill Sunrise.
But Yair tried it at my house.
Oh, he was over.
Yeah, he was over, too.
Okay. All right.
It was a good Shabbat, Ted.
Well, I'm glad to hear you had a nice Shabbat. All right, so now we're moving on to. So now we move on to From the Pages.
And it's a good week this week.
All right, so in the beginning of 1854, the Israelitish Institutions of Cincinnati by Samuel Brule continued. Continuation of the description of the Shabbos Aid Society, the second Jewish charitable institution in Cincinnati. So there was the Burial Society, and now there's the Shabbos Aid Society. At length, a meeting was called, which was respectably attended. The most active on the occasion were Messers?
Yeah.
E. Mayer, P. Moses, J. That would have been John Jonas, P. Heidelbach, D. Mayer, J. Goldberg, J. Abraham, and others. These are the guys that we all read and talk about constantly, and they were all at this meeting. These are the founding fathers of Cincinnati, Jewish Cincinnati.
And I'm sure some of them are buried at Chestnut Street Cemetery.
Yes. So every exertion was used to establish an association which could provide funds in advance of any emergency, at the same time to be a check to pauperism. Mr. P. Moses was appointed as the first president. Mr. J. Abraham as secretary. Committees were chosen to obtain subscribers. The zeal and industry of this committee soon reported 51 signatures.
Wow.
July 28, 1854.
So 150 years ago, wanted by the congregation B'nai Israel, Minhag America, Keokuk, Iowa, a gentleman competent to act as a chazan, shachet, and
Shochet.
That's the guy that butchers the
animals.
The animals. Yeah. And teacher, salary $700, situation is open. Traveling expenses refunded to the accepted party. Direct applications with reference and credentials. Jacob Spiesberger, secretary, L. Solomon, president, July 7th, 1871. So I want you to just to remember that it says in there, Minhag America, because we're going to go back to that statement, Minhag America. Right. And what we've learned is Minhag means customs.
Right.
So that means that this congregation, B'nai Israel, is following American customs in their synagogue.
All right, so
they're differentiating themselves from another synagogue. So the person they hire must be capable of understanding what the American customs are.
Okay, so but back then, you really didn't have that many American customs. I mean, there was not. So Jews in America have been here for maybe a couple hundred years now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in 1800 or maybe before that, so maybe 16 or so Gary Zola would know that,
right?
So they've been here like three, and the American custom was different than the European custom, which we'd been in Europe for thousands of years, and then in Israel for thousands of years, where they have specific ways to run the service, different.
Well, it evolves as they move into different places,
exactly,
and there's different people that move in. Now, one of the things that I was actually reminded of in a call from a friend the other day, Marlene Ostro, the first Jews actually came from Brazil. Rafe, Brazil.
Okay.
And they came into, I believe, the Carolinas, the very, very first Jews.
Okay.
So they would come in with traditions from what they had in Brazil, also evolved.
Right.
And it's only through the computers and internet now that our evolving is going to be a lot tighter than it was before, because we intermingle so much and we travel so much.
So back, you're saying back then there was a slower progression of the service, or how they did the service,
as they stayed separated from each other longer,
right,
things changed and developed, you know, it moved along. Now, there's a great ladies' column and a great children's column. I'm not going to read it this week. Okay. You should read it at home. But 100 years ago, Dr. and Mrs. David Philipson were for a week summering in Cape May, New Jersey, where Dr. Philipson attended the meetings of the committee of which he is chairman, which is engaged in revising the Union Prayer Book. They will spend the rest of the summer at Bedford Springs, Pennsylvania. So the editor's note from Carol Hershenson, thank you very much, Carol. Dr. Philipson was the rabbi at K.K. Ben Israel, now Wise Temple, following Rabbi Isaac M. Wise.
Right.
The Union Prayer Book was published in 1892. Based on Rabbi Wise's book, Minhag America, 1857. So there we have it again, Minhag America,
right, so
the customs of America.
He put together the prayer book and what prayers you did in what order and all that kind of stuff.
And it has since been revised repeatedly since and has largely been supplemented by other prayer books in the majority of Reformed congregations, July 14th, 1921. So again, we have... Things have evolved, things have changed, congregations may come up with their own things that they want to do in traditions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So very interesting. But Minhag America is what differentiated synagogues in America and their traditions with those of other countries.
All right, so you want to do 75 years ago?
So 75 years ago, Franklin Harkavy, hospital apprentice, 1C, son of
Mr. Would have been first class.
First class, okay. Son of Mr. and Mrs. Benjamin Harkavy, 7915 Lyman Drive, was discharged July 3rd from the Navy after having served 2 years. So Franklin Harkavy is Frank Harkavy, and he is the father of Tamar Harkavy.
And Josh.
And Josh. Well, I don't know the rest. I just know Tamar, and she's an artist, and she's also at Federation, and she did, like, the Big Pig gig for Cincinnati.
Right.
So this was her father. He did pass away in 2003. May his memory be for a blessing. Yeah. So...
A nice tribute to him. Very nice man.
As a World War II vet.
All right, and so I wanted to do this ad. The Lookout House, which is a big place to go, it was like the place, you know, to go every Friday night, Saturday night. Sophie Tucker in person.
Wow.
So if people remember who Sophie Tucker was, George Gobel was going to be there, Carlos and Linda, Lindsay, lovely ladies, Bob Snyder's orchestra, the Felden Foursome, and Larry Vincent at, this is on Dixie Highway in Covington. Shows 8:30 and 1, 8:30 and 1 a.m.
To 1 a.m., shows 8:30 to
dinner's
1 a.m.
Dinner's $2 and up.
Wow. Socials Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday at 9:15, Dixie Highway. Wow. Well, speaking of Lindsay's lovely ladies, you know, 50 years ago, John Marks and his hot bagels, both of Cincinnati... I guess both his hot bagels or both John Marks and
bagels. He doesn't have hot bagels. He made the hot bagels.
Were two of the major attractions of the Ohio section of the recent American Folk Festival in Washington.
So he must have gone to that event and took him take bagels. And
took his hot bagels.
Oh, will you stop? You need to get your mind out of the... You need to get your mind right.
July 8th, 1971, so...
All right.
So 25 years ago, there is a great story here. Scott and Lauren Kansett announced the birth of a son, Daniel Ryan, June 21st. Daniel has a brother, Andrew. Now, Andrew was a friend of my Daniel's.
Right.
But Daniel Katz is an amazing young man. At only 25 years old, he has already started a business and a product called No Car Bar. Have you ever heard of this? Pam Sakes loves the No Car Bar. It started out as D's Naturals. It revolutionized healthy foods. It brought all these plant-based things. It's a no-cow protein bar, an energy bar. Anyway, he made a mint on it. He sold it, the business. He did all kinds of amazing, amazing stuff with it. He sold it to General Mills. And it started out in 2013. He used to sleep in his factory, his warehouse here in Cincinnati when he started it. And by 2015, he was already in, like, Kroger's and all the health food stores. He's done an amazing job. So we want to shout out again to another Cincinnati Jewish boy who's done well. He lives in Colorado now. He's on to another big project, which is a secret.
Does it have to do with something to do with marijuana?
No, not at all. Not even at all.
Because a lot of people go to Colorado because of the free marijuana. Yeah,
I don't think this has to do it. No.
Okay, good. But you could cut that out.
Yeah. No. But in the meantime, it's a low sugar. It's a great bar. It fills you up. It gives you a lot of energy. And it's amazing that he created this and has done so well. So all Jewish right. boy done good.
10 years ago, on the morning of July 7, 2011, the Westboro Baptist Church began their picket of the mayor's and JCC at 10 a.m. After protesting a Christian convention downtown earlier, a group made up of five or so of the Kansas-based church, signs in hand, stood near the Ridge Road entrance to the J, saying the Jews were cursed as Christ killers, and other such signs. About 15 more people were also there to counter-protest the group, known mostly for its vocal picketing of military funerals, such as the 2008 funeral of local soldier Matt Maupin. This was 10 years ago. You really have not heard about them in the last 10 years.
They got quiet.
Yeah, they've gotten very quiet. But I remember that to this day.
I can't imagine that they think that, you know, if they're following the teaching of Christ, yes. that they would think that this behavior is Christ-like.
Well,
it's not.
It has to do. So in 1968, the Vatican held what was called the Vatican II Conference, mm-hmm. and they came up with this declaration, which is called Nostro Aetate. Okay, Nostro Aetate means that the Jews did not kill Christ. And that was in night. You look this up, go on Wikipedia, go look on your iPad. It's called Nostro Aetate, A-E-T-A-T-E, Tate. I think that's the way you spell it. But if you look it up, it goes and explains how the Christian Church from the Vatican states, you know, undeniably that the Jews had nothing to do with the death of Christ. And that comes from the teaching of contempt against the Jewish people in terms of anti-Semitism. And so it's tried to change that, and it's still, you go to certain people still believe that the Jews killed Christ. And so I have to point them in the direction of go to Vatican II, 1968, and look up what Nostra Aetate means.
Well, not to interrupt you, but also remember the Vatican only speaks for the Catholics, and this is a Baptist congregation.
Okay, so the Baptist,
so they may not follow the teachings of what the Catholics are saying.
Yeah, they should. They should. So,
well, in Jews of the News, right? Nate Blum again missed that Gal Gadot had her third baby girl. So a little bit disappointing. And, you know, and our Melissa House here just got herself a little puppy girl. Really cute, beautiful little puppy.
We love it.
She brought her in today.
Giving her kisses today.
Beatrice.
Anyway. All right. So business. The first cultured meat plant opens in Israel. So you like this is meat that's made, it looks and feels and touches and cooks and everything just like meat, but it's made out of, you know, like plants.
And what about the controversy with kosher? Have they decided whether or not they're going to allow it to be kosher, or are they
probably
gonna...
eventually it probably will become kosher because it'll be plant-based, and as long as the plants are kosher plants, then the product will be kosher then.
And it's not started from any sort of a DNA cell from a plant, an animal, right? It's all completely plant-based.
Right.
Amazing.
It's called future meat.
And then on to our Gail Levine Schindler, the food columnist. So she, first of all, it's a Spanish theme, and she's got this recipe for Spanish flan that looks absolutely delicious, and it doesn't look like it's that difficult to do. I may have to try this. But I really liked her second paragraph talks about old friends. And she went back. I guess you have an annual reunion.
I missed it this year.
Yeah,
at French Park.
Where there's about 60 high school friends get together and reminisce about your years.
Well, we used to hang out. A lot of kids from Walnut Hills lived in Amberley. So where do we hang out?
French Park. What were you guys doing in French Park?
You know, we're hiking around the woods and checking stuff out, and you know,
science projects.
There were science projects with lighters.
I think so.
Put it that way, science project with lighters. Anyway, I didn't go, but then also they have a like a sign up, and it's actually sheets now, big sheets on cardboard of all the people that were in our classes that have passed away.
Oh, that's sad.
And my brother's now up on that, so, you know, that's kind of sad. But I used to go, but I didn't know when it was this year, and so I didn't go. It's usually on Shabbos, and so on my way home from shul, I usually walk up there and hang out and see everybody and say hello, but I didn't go this year. But anyway, back to the flan. The flan, I want some flan. He says, back in the day, this is years ago at Golf Manor, Gerd Buckheim, Mr. Buckheim, used to make flan at the synagogue.
He was quite the chef.
It was like the best. It was just
amazing baker.
It was so tasty. It was just so, so delicious. I miss that. That was really good stuff.
So our advice columnist, Dr. Ruth Nemzoff, has a column, A Plus Human Beings, which is a really sweet column. And then below, how to listen to our podcast. It's a lesson in how to listen to podcasts. I think it's great.
Well, you were brought this up, that we need a step-by-step of how do you do this and all that kind of stuff. And so we're going to continue to do this to tell people how you listen to the podcast. And tell your friends. We want more listeners. We want more listeners. All right, so you want to do death notices?
Yes. The first one is Robert Lappin, age 98, June 30th, 2021, the 20th of Tammuz, 5781.
Susan Risa Solomon Nee Okrent, age 74, June 30th, 2021, 20 Tammuz, 5781.
May their memories be for a blessing.
Yeah.
Well, coming up is your mature living, senior life, and also back to school.
Yep, that'll be here before you know it by the end of the month. So I've got to get to work on that stuff, too.
Well, you know, I also have to give a big thank you out to our Melissa. She's been giving us a lot of advice. She's really good at editing and taking out our mistakes. And we really appreciate all the work that she puts into this. And we want to thank you all for listening. And if you have any questions or comments, you can send them to info@lettherebelightpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram for fun photos of what's happening during the tapings. If you like us, please give us a 5-star review and definitely tell your family and friends about us.
Please. Okay, now you know what time it is?
Time for the joke of the week.
No, it's time for bad joke of the week.
Okay.
We've changed the name of that. It used to be joke of the week, but since I'm such a terrible joke teller, and the jokes have been so bad. Mm-hmm. It's now bad joke of the week. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here's your bad joke of the week. This is from the Encyclopedia of Jewish Humor from Biblical Times to the Modern Age, compiled and edited by Henry D. Spaulding. Patient. Say, what's the matter with you? You just pulled the wrong tooth. Dentist, don't get excited. I'm coming to it.
Mm-hmm. I never seem to get a full laugh out.
I know. It's always kind of like a half. That's like a half not a full ha-ha-ha.
Yeah. Well, we want to wish everyone a Shavuot Tov. Have a good week. Thank you again for listening.
Well, now it's the 3 weeks, so everybody should, you know, focus on the destruction of the temples and how we can all improve our lives so that that doesn't happen again. And then we're coming up on the 9 days, which are like the major days of mourning for the entire Jewish people and Jewish population. So that's something to focus on. And hope for better days ahead, because we have to kind of remember the past, but we also have to think of the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you again for listening. Bye-bye.